Welcome back to No Time for Neutral. I'm your host, Georgia Hawthorne.
And I'm Andy.
And good Lord, have we been busy the last couple of weeks. Andy, we just got done with state convention, so what do you say we let people know what we did last weekend?
Totally. Let's do it.
Okay, so we did what's called a rules convention, and essentially says that we can change the party rules to say basically whatever people vote on them to say. Mm-hmm. And we have folks from central committees, folks from partner organizations, legislators, everyone and anyone was in Livingston this couple of weekends ago. And so a couple of the rules changes we passed. So MDP's executive director now has to provide financial reports quarterly for the Montana Democratic Party. MDLCC, which is our legislative campaign arm, and the coordinated campaign. So whoever the ED is, well, now, until the rule is changed or whatever, we'll have to provide financial reports quarterly to the board. What's another one we did? We said the executive board has to meet quarterly with a minimum of 4 times a year. This one was mainly just to clear up some like scheduling like concerns and clarifications and such. There was another rule that clarified how many legislators get to sit on the e-board and how, like, from what chamber and what role and all kinds of things. There were a couple of legislators who've been confused by that rule in the past and didn't know what their board representation looked like. So this rule just kind of cleared that up so mm-hmm. that it's very clear. You have 2 legislators from each chamber that get to sit on the executive board, and then it's dependent on your position and then whether we're in the majority or the minority because those rules change depending on legislative balance. Another one, and this is an internal one mostly, but if anyone wants to announce their candidacy for the executive board, they have to tell everybody a week in advance. And that's mainly just so that folks know who's running, they can reach out to you, ask you questions, talk with their friends, do whatever they need to do to feel confident in their executive board vote. So that was one. We amended the rules to now do all of our elections through digital ranked choice voting. So now when we do e-board elections or DNC representation elections, we're not going to have to do 1 million hand-counted paper ballots anymore, or even 1 million digital ballots. We just get 1 ballot per race, and you vote once.
Efficiency.
And that's it. And then the really big rules change that came through over convention was some modifications to the way the party behaves in and around primaries. Mm-hmm. So the previous rule said that the party would not intervene until after a primary. Mm-hmm. We're not going to give you any money. We're not going to like tell our friends. Like, I'm not going to come to you and be like, hey, did you hear about this candidate? Because that's what the rules said. The party and its staff had to remain neutral mm-hmm. until a primary had been conducted.
Right.
And
this is specifically party staff.
Yes.
Board members, mm-hmm. those directly tied to the party.
Right.
Not individual Democrats.
Right. Yep. So, like, obviously, like, if you just are a Democrat, Montana, have all the opinions you want.
Right.
But Andy and I, because we are so involved in the day-to-day, previously, as the rules stood, were not allowed to engage until the Democrats of Montana had actually picked their candidate.
Sure.
So that we're not nominating people or appearing like we're nominating people or anything like that. Because at the end of the day, it is the people who right. decide their candidate, not the party. Mm-hmm. To see this rule change come up, essentially what it says is if no one has filed against you, so filing deadline comes, you have to declare your candidacy before the filing deadline. If the filing deadline comes and goes, and you have no candidate that's running against you, so that you have no primary.
If there's no opposition.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So if there aren't 3 Democrats running for 1 seat.
But only one.
Yeah. So if there's one, the party can get involved after the filing deadline.
Cool.
So the filing deadline's in March. Mm-hmm. Primary's not till June. So that's 3 months, and with how late Montana's primaries are, that 5 months between November and June, that is a sprint.
It's a long time, yeah.
And so I think this 3 months will be good for some additional candidate support and such. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought it was a good weekend. We moved the party forward with these rule changes. We elected a new e-board. We got everyone together. And I think everyone is finally back on the same page about where we're headed moving forward.
Cool.
Yeah.
Democracy in action.
Woo!
Love to see it.
Yes, me too. You know who does not love to see it? Donald Trump and the Republicans.
Okay.
So, Andy, speaking of democracy, one of the things that a democracy is pretty dependent upon mm-hmm. is the concept of free speech.
Yeah.
Because how can you have honest, genuine conversations
right.
if you can't say what you actually feel?
Yeah, we've always prided ourselves as
right.
a country.
This is America. I can say whatever speech. I want.
Yes, all parties, both parties.
Yeah,
yes.
That's how it's always been. Until last week. And it's been a long week in American politics. Mm-hmm. It's been a long year. So Charlie Kirk was assassinated at Utah Valley University during a rally. And please keep in mind that Charlie Kirk has always been framed as the savior of free speech, especially on college campuses. That was his whole thing. It was, hey, come debate me. Let's talk.
Yes.
That is free speech.
He was an advocate for it.
Right.
And that's what he did. He spoke.
Yes.
What was truth to him.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we beg to
right.
disagree on 98%
sure.
of what 99.5% of what he said.
Right.
You know?
But yeah. So the Republican Party has always been touting him as like, oh my God, Charlie Kirk is free speech. Like, mm-hmm. this is the guy.
Right.
And the irony right now.
Yeah.
Is, like, enough to make you sick.
I think it's insane how his party, the Republican Party, has capitalized on the death
mm-hmm.
of this person by essentially tarnishing his own legacy.
That's exactly what I've been thinking, too.
Of free speech. Like, we do not like the shit that came out of Charlie Kirk's mouth when he was alive.
Right.
But he said what he said because he believed in free speech.
Right.
Now the Republican Party is doing things like, you know, canceling
Jimmy Kimmel. What? Like, you remember when Stephen Colbert got kicked off the air?
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, no, it's a money thing.
Right.
It's a money thing.
They're
it's a financial
the ratings
decision.
Are bad. It doesn't make money.
I don't know if I buy that for a second. And the reason he got kicked off the air he wasn't even making comments about Charlie Kirk.
Hmm.
He was making comments about the way the MAGA movement was treating and responding to his death.
Right. Similar to like what I just said.
Right. You didn't say anything about Charlie Kirk, but you said a lot about the MAGA movement.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the really delineating line I want to make clear here.
Right.
Because Jimmy Kimmel got kicked off the air for quote-unquote, like, speaking negatively mm-hmm. about Charlie Kirk.
And literally the day before, he was saying how horrible his
yes!
death was, how murder is wrong, how nobody should be killed because of what they say.
Right.
In a country that allows free speech.
Right. And so his comments were basically like, hey, I feel like making a guy a political martyr is weird.
Yeah.
I feel like this is weird. And that was pretty much all he said. And so the FCC chair came after him, and Trump came after him, and Disney caved like that. They were like, yep, nope, it's suspended indefinitely. But online, and I feel like this hasn't been covered a whole lot in the news per se, is online the second Jimmy Kimmel got taken off the air, people were pissed.
Yeah.
Like, people were ready to, like, go to war for Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
And everyone started canceling their Disney. They started canceling their Disney Plus subscriptions, their Hulu subscriptions, their ESPN subscriptions. People were just canceling them, left and right. They said, yep, nope, I'm done.
Yeah.
They lost like several billion dollars
Incredible.
Over the weekend.
See, that's what it takes, people. Make your voice heard by the almighty dollar.
That's where you hit them.
Because as of this afternoon, today mm-hmm. is Monday, news broke that Jimmy Kimmel will be back on television
right?
tomorrow night.
Huh.
And why? Oh, it's because his parent company
yeah.
is losing billions of dollars.
Right. And the crazy part is that if Disney wasn't losing billions of dollars, they probably wouldn't have done it because they are in the middle of some big merger business deal thing with the feds right now.
Sure.
So they would not rock the boat if they absolutely did not have to.
Sure.
But I think...
Wild.
Like, so, and it's not even just Jimmy Kimmel. It's the crazy part.
Mm-hmm.
They're, like, random people getting fired from their jobs.
Right.
I mean, granted, this is kind of the rule I live my life by. If you can't defend something to a reporter 2 hours after you say it online, maybe you shouldn't put it on the internet.
Hmm.
But there were a lot of people posting their opinions on the internet.
Right.
As they should. As they can. Because we have free speech. And the right wing, especially on Twitter, but it was everywhere, was screenshotting these posts, looking these people up, doxing them, calling their places of employment, demanding for them to be fired.
Wow.
There was a woman from Helena, there was a business in Bozeman. Like, just really, really insane kind of behavior. I saw something that Indiana's governor is playing with the idea of revoking teachers' licenses.
Because of stuff teachers say?
Yeah, with proof or with evidence or whatever, but, like, what? Oklahoma wants to put, they want to mandate that every one of Oklahoma's state colleges has a statue of Charlie Kirk.
Okay.
Like, what is happening?
Oh, boy. Boy, boy, boy.
And, like, if an Oklahoma college wants to put up a statue of Charlie Kirk, be my guest. I don't really care. But it is weird to mandate that, and it is weird to revoke teachers' licenses based on comments of some guy. He wasn't an elected official.
Right.
He wasn't even really a celebrity.
No. It's weird. this whole situation is weird.
Like, half the... I would argue that, like, half the country didn't even know who this guy was.
Right.
Until he got shot.
Well, and I think it was, like, his following was so niche within the MAGA movement.
Right.
Like, a lot of MAGA folks put him on a big pedestal, right? And, like, first I just want to say, like, what happened to Mr. Kirk is horrible.
Awful.
We don't condemn any of this,
no.
So let's just put that out there.
Gun violence is bad all the time.
But this guy was a piece of shit. The things he said, like, he called for... like, the death of queer people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally did. He even was quoted with saying that, you know, the price we pay in deaths of people by gun violence is basically what we have.
Worth it.
Worth it to have the Second Amendment in our country, which is not okay.
That is one of the quotes that is getting people fired,
right.
By the way.
Right.
Just direct quote
from,
said by Charlie Kirk.
From him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's a portion of the population
that,
you know, watched his every move, paid a lot of attention.
Totally.
So it makes sense that more people in our camp, like, had no idea who this guy was. But, like, he would go to college campuses.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, they probably want statues of him in Oklahoma campuses. Because he would go to campuses and basically spew his conservative bullshit and also call out professors that were too liberal for his taste.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean is, like, even professors on our own campus here at the University of Montana were on his list and, like, faced harassment and, like, fear of retribution from his following for, like, being too, quote, woke.
But also, it is not cool of the government to make an entire political martyr out of this man while trampling his legacy, just
exactly.
Like you said.
Yeah.
Like, they're saying, oh, Charlie Kirk stood for free speech. He stood for free speech. And now, in his death, to remember him and honor him, you're going to eradicate the First Amendment, essentially?
Exactly. It's crazy to me, because in my opinion, like, if he is to have a legacy, it should be the fact that he 100% stood for free speech in this country. To have the ability to say what we feel we need to say. And now his party is trampling on that and totally changing the legacy of this man.
What the hell is happening? We live in scary times.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's like the free speech thing was kind of starting to happen before Kirk's death. And that's just kind of spiraled it out of control. Because earlier this year, like, Trump signed an executive order to prosecute people for burning the American flag. You can disagree with that all you want. Burning the American flag has been protected speech since the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Daines wrote a constitutional amendment to, like, prohibit flag burning. Like, earlier this year. The Supreme Court is the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said, this is fine. Constitutionally, this is fine. Disagree with it morally, ethically. Texas v. Johnson in 1989.
Got it.
There was someone who burned the flag and was like taken to jail. And he was like, I have the right to free speech. And the Supreme Court was like, yeah, man, you do. Burn that flag. Like, I don't agree with it. Most people probably wouldn't agree with it. But that's the whole point.
Right.
I mean, and like in after Jimmy Kimmel and such, like Trump has been publicly threatening, like on TV and such, that if news networks criticize him too much or too unfairly or really whatever he decides.
He's vocally said he wants all the late night hosts fired.
Yeah.
Like this he's isn't just coincidence. We've now had two.
He's just out here saying that he's like going to revoke licenses left and right because he doesn't like what they're saying.
Yeah. Oh, and he's 100% after my girls on The View. If you didn't know, I watch The View pretty religiously. Big Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar.
I love
here.
It.
Yeah. He wants them gone.
Like, so are we just supposed to, like, stare at the wall? Like, late night TV used to be fun.
I mean, I think it's still... Do you watch late night TV?
I used to when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I don't have cable.
That's why Donald Trump doesn't want them. Because they make fun of him. And it's on broadcast television, so, you know.
What a baby.
But, like, they make fun of everybody.
No, yeah.
You know, it's all sides. It's not just the president. It's everybody, you know.
That's the whole point of being a comedian.
It's political satire.
Yeah.
And they always have. That's what late night's all about.
Well, Andy, as the resident Gen Zer, I'm kind of preemptively mourning TikTok. And the reason I say I'm mourning it is because you remember the whole TikTok ban, whenever that happened, about how they were like, no, you can't have a Chinese app in the United States, so they shut it down for 3 days.
So confused because last I looked, TikTok still works.
It does.
But I remember it was like over New Year's Eve of this year. Yeah. Like, well, by January 1st, it's going to be gone. Then I got a notification on my phone that
it was down for like 24 hours. I don't even think it was down for that long.
Yeah.
But it was off the app store.
Right.
So if you had deleted it, you couldn't get it back. But then they put it back on the app store eventually.
Yeah.
But so they like, essentially what happened is they ended up just kicking the deadline down the road again. Which is what Donald Trump is best at. It's just sending the deadline further and further away. Well, we have stumbled upon the new deadline.
Okay.
It's coming up here pretty soon. And rumor has it. Well, not even really a rumor. It's happening. A conglomerate of U.S.-based venture capitalist firms.
Okay.
Are buying out ByteDance. Of their TikTok shares. So this U.S. group of companies will own like 80% of TikTok. And then I think the remaining 20% is still in China in some way because like those are the guys who created it.
Okay. And we think these firms are buddies with the president? Is that...
I would imagine.
Okay.
I can't imagine that he would let this deal happen any other way.
Yeah.
I don't see him allowing the sale of TikTok to a Democrat.
Yeah.
So I'm going to assume they are, his friends are at least neutral. That said, don't have a whole lot of trust in billionaire venture capitalists right now. And my fear is that... I saw something that as part of the sale, ByteDance had to get, like, sell the algorithm. meaning that these US-based companies will now be in charge of the American TikTok algorithm. Which is concerning.
That's very concerning.
Because there's always some scenarios of like what may or may not be censorship on TikTok. Mm. Like I've seen a lot of creators who have recently started taking to writing what they actually want to say on a piece of paper. And then they like flip book it like in the 2000s.
Oh.
And then what they are saying is like, I love Donald Trump. He's the best president ever. And then on the flip book, it's like, hey, things are wrong. I need you to call your representative or whatever it might be.
Uh-huh.
And those are like, and then they'll make a flip side video. Like, or they'll make a normal video with just that message. And that video won't do as well.
Weird.
So there's like some weird things with the TikTok algorithm already. Especially there were a lot of weird things around No King's Day.
Sure.
When that big protest happened.
Yeah.
There were a couple of weird things happening there. And it's scary. Like, TikTok has always been a social media that I use all the way around. I use it for fun. I use it for news. I use it to learn how to cook. I use it to do literally everything in my life, basically. If I need to learn how to
maybe
do...
Maybe don't put all your eggs in one basket.
If I need to learn something, there's a TikTok video for it. I'm not watching a 15-minute long YouTube video to tell me. TikTok can give it to me in 60 seconds. Yes, I'm only 23. Sue me. But I guess what I mean by that is like TikTok has become almost more than a platform, and it's become like a very large internet community.
Mm-hmm.
And there are very important and relevant discussions happening all over that app right now,
right,
on the right and the left.
Mm-hmm.
And I really worry that a lot of that is going to be stifled.
Yeah.
Especially if they start messing with the algorithm.
Right. Back to the discussion on free speech.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you can't trust the late night hosts because they don't exist, and the news media has been biased forever, it's so hard to find news. It's becoming harder and harder. I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's like a couple of solid outlets, and even like CNN. I'm like, what is happening here?
Mm-hmm. Well, cable networks are not held to the same standards.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Broadcast television. So you got your like CBS's, NBC, ABC, and they're, you know, held to a strict FCC mm-hmm. standard
right.
of journalistic integrity, where CNN, MSNBC, Fox News are not necessarily,
right.
which is why, you know, they're really known for being partisan leaning.
Mm-hmm. It's just becoming so hard to find out what's real and what's not. And this, like, clamp down on free speech mm-hmm. is going to make it so much harder.
Yeah.
Like, if we're messing with social media algorithms and we're taking people off the air because we don't like what they say, so I'm just supposed to believe it if it comes out of your mouth. Right? Like, that's what we're going for here. It has to be. Is that if it doesn't come straight from the administration, it's not real. It's not true. They're lying.
Yeah. That's crazy. It feels like some real Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
Shit.
Oh, I didn't even write this one down for you. The Secretary of Defense recently said that only pre-authorized material can be distributed by the like SecDef press corps. So the journalists who cover the Department of Defense. So say if they get their hands on a document or something, an anonymous source, whatever it might be, and that document specifically has not been cleared by, like, the office of the secretary, you will get your press pass revoked.
Wow.
So, like, there's another layer. Yay!
Georgie, can you catch me up on this Whitefish ICE arrest?
Oh, boy. Yes. So earlier this month, I think it was like the 13th or the 14th, somewhere over that weekend, there were two women in Whitefish, a mom and her 17-year-old daughter, were picked up and detained by Border Patrol. This is now the second really public detainment by Border Patrol and by ICE that we've seen, especially in Kalispell. I believe it's two of a handful across the state. But either way, mom and her daughter, they were driving, they see a car accident on the side of the road. They pull over, because that's what Montanans do. You pull over and you make sure that your people are okay. They pull over. They don't speak English. They only speak Spanish. And Border Patrol was called by the Highway Patrol to help translate, is what they said. Obviously, that quickly turned into them being detained. And I do have a little bit of a side note here. We talk a lot about national politics on this podcast, but we're still Montana-based, and our Montana state laws have always been our main focus. This past session, this spring, a couple of months ago, Montana Republicans pushed through a bill that allows police officers to essentially racial profile and ask for immigration papers at a traffic stop. Now, obviously, I have no idea of knowing if this law was the reason they got detained, because maybe it had absolutely nothing to do with that. I just don't know. But these are the kinds of laws that escalate tensions in our communities and make people look at each other sideways. You shouldn't have to worry about stopping on the side of the road to make sure that people are alive. You shouldn't have to worry about getting put in a jail cell for that. But so they were taken to the Border Patrol office in Whitefish. Flathead Democracy, which is a group up in the valley, they have been absolutely incredible this entire year. They're very, very well organized. And they know what's up. They have a rapid response specifically for this kind of thing. They had rotating round-the-clock protests at the Border Patrol office in Whitefish. To make sure that they couldn't try to sneak these two girls out in the middle of the night. Kalispell said, "You are not disappearing people on my watch. We don't do that here." Unfortunately, they did end up leaving Whitefish. There were three protesters who stood in front of the car. As like the Border Patrol is trying to leave, three protesters literally get in front of the car. Like, "Nope, I'm standing here. You're not leaving." And eventually they were arrested by Whitefish PD. They've since been released. But so mom and her 17-year-old were taken to a detention camp in Texas. Unfortunately, the detention center they are in, the conditions are not great. Bad. Really bad, actually, is more the phrase. There's been issues with kids seeing a doctor in time. There's been cloudy water, and the kids won't eat the food, and the soap is causing rashes, like, on babies. And the commissary is expensive. So, like, they get picked up off the street and taken to this detention center, and then they get everything taken away from them. And then they get told, "Oh, you need water? That's not cloudy. Oh, you need toothpaste? Oh, you get to pay for that. You have to pay for that. We're not giving that to you. Why would we do that?" And I pulled these from an article about the detention center, but I'm going to read these off for some context. In this commissary, bottled water is $1.21. Deodorant is $5.73. $2.39 for toothpaste. And a single dose of Tylenol is $1.30.
Wow.
I don't know if that's one Tylenol or two Tylenols.
I don't think that's like normal. Isn't like commissary prices in a jail usually cheaper because they give them just like pennies an hour?
I don't know. I guess I'm not as familiar. But I do know that Flathead Democracy is coordinating with one of their the mom and the daughter's local neighbors up in Kalispell, It was actually the neighbor that they called when they realized they were being detained. So there's an established relationship here and everything. But Flathead Democracy is trying to raise some funds for these two.
Great.
So they can get things in the commissary for legal fees, because Lord knows they're going to need a lawyer. And whatever ends up happening after the fact. But if you are interested in donating to Louisa and Fergie, you can Venmo at Flathead Democracy. And if that doesn't work for you, I'm sure you could reach out to them directly and they could give you more information. But yeah, it's been a week. It's been a long couple of weeks, Andy.
Mm-hmm. A lot going on.
I feel like it's gotten worse in the last little bit. Like, I feel like the tensions just keep rising.
Like politics coming from Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a weird time we're living through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think the Trump administration is just trying to flood the zone with their crap. That's what they do.
Totally. You know,
they love to distract with weird...
Release the Epstein files! Yeah, release the Epstein files!
And also, like, you know, historically, midterms don't go very well for the party in power. And they recognize that, which is why they're trying to do all this redistricting shit in, like, red states.
They've also tried to, like, completely rebrand the One Big Beautiful Bill.
Right.
As a working families tax cut.
Right.
That's, like, what J.D. Vance is calling it on his, like, tour.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think they're just trying to, like, ramrod through everything they possibly can in this, like, in the first 2 years of the second, you know, administration. Mm-hmm. Because they know in the latter 2 years...
They're not going to have the trifecta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a pretty good perspective, actually. Okay, well, I refuse to end the podcast like this. So tell me something fun you did, or good news, or something.
Something fun. Oh, did a couple fun things. Went to another wedding.
Nice.
It was great.
I've got one of those coming up this weekend.
Nice. Yeah. Montana weddings are fun. The meal was Notorious P.I.G.
Ooh.
Which was incredible. So yum. Barbecued pork and ribs and deliciousness. And then Sunday... for my work, I work for Arts Missoula, our local arts and culture agency here in town. We collaborated with Run Wild Missoula, the organization that puts on the Missoula Marathon, for this new event called Art on the Run. And the event was designed to kind of like celebrate and learn about public art in our community. So we started at the Run Wild office downtown and did a scavenger hunt through town.
Cool.
So we would tell people, hey, your first stop is at the Wren Hotel to see like the new mural that was just put in there. You like meet the artist there. The artist tells you about the work mural. She made. Yeah. And then she sends them on to the next stop. And so there was like 9 stops around town. And then we ended up my office at Arts Missoula and had kind of like a group art project and snacks and stuff.
That is so fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, it's a great way to
hang out with runners and people that appreciate art and learn a little bit about all the cool art we have.
No, that's awesome.
In this town.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what did I do? I went fishing. I actually did kind of a lot last week. I went hiking. I went on a big hike out towards Superior, towards an alpine lake. It was like 6 miles round trip. Did some fishing at the top. Did not see a bear. I was very scared we were going to see a bear. And then we went fishing again on Saturday out by Lincoln. Caught a decent amount of fish, actually. I don't think we've pulled that many out of the Blackfoot in one day in a while. Probably because the river's finally lowering and such. But, oh, I also went to the Hamilton movie.
As I
stare at your playbill from across the room. Yeah, nice. That's what I did for my birthday, since I was working on my birthday over convention, and that's what I wanted to do was go see the Hamilton movie.
Cool. I bet it's so much better than watching on
it was so good.
Home TV.
The sound quality. The sound quality is divine.
Yes. Okay.
Would recommend.
I'm going to have to do that. I have seen it in real time.
So have I.
Oh, you have?
Yes, okay. I saw it in London last summer, actually. Okay. Seeing it in London was weird.
Sure.
So here I am watching a movie about, or a movie, but like a play that's initially set in the Revolutionary
War. About the Revolution.
Yeah, here I am in London.
In the West End.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Okay, well, I think that's pretty much all we've got. Take care of yourselves. Maybe find a piece of art or something. Yeah. That's what we did.
Enjoy art.
Yeah.
It's good for you.
And enjoy the sun while it is still around. And we'll see you next week.